Hey there, everybody. It is Wednesday, August 8th, 2012, and you are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm your host, Ken Schneck. As always, you can get in touch with us rather easily. Just send an email on over to ken@thisshowisogay.com. Stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com to learn all about the fun things happening with our dog and pony little gay radio show. And of course, go to the Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay, like us, because we sure as heck like you. What a jam-packed show we have for you this week, including welcoming back one of our favorite guests. It's been so long. First guest, are you ready to go?
I am.
Let me introduce you. Kirsten Ott Palladino is the editor-in-chief of Equally Wed Magazine, the nation's premier LGBTQ wedding magazine, providing gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and queer couples with a modern, elegant, and unique guide to gay wedding planning, from ring shopping and proposing to tying the knot and living happily ever after, and of course, everything in between. It's been oh so long since she's been on the show. So much has happened. Kirsten, welcome back to The Show Is So Gay.
Thank you, Ken. I'm happy to be here.
Now, you have not been on the show. It's going on like 2 years at this point.
It is close to it.
So last time you were on the show, you were pregnant. My assumption, knowing what I know about anatomy and the way evolution works, is that you are no longer still pregnant.
That is correct. I am no longer pregnant.
Yes. Anything to report?
Yes. I gave birth to two very healthy and beautiful twin baby boys in March of 2011, so they're coming up on 17 months.
Wow. And they're sleeping through the night? Are they doing any tricks?
Yes, so they're sleeping through the night, they're both walking, they're chattering, they love, you know, pointing out to things and talking about cars and trucks and boats. There's so much boy in them, it's insane. They're rough, but they're so sweet and they love giving hugs.
Love that. Now, what if someone comes up to you or your partner and says, Kirsten, I really want one of your children to be a ring bearer. Are they ready for that?
If people were open to having a little bit of a spectacle, because they may not get from the back of the aisle to the front of the aisle in one straight line, absolutely they're welcome to having our children in their wedding.
Is there a certain age that we should look for our flower girls and our ring bearers?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, 4 would probably be the prime age to start at, just
okay,
for understanding the whole concept and, but being able to, you know, be on display, and the little antics would be cute and everybody would say ooh and ah, of course. But I think 4 and up is an ideal age to work from.
Except your children, they're advanced.
It's so advanced. Yes, absolutely.
Well, let's back up a step. Give everybody the spiel about Equally Wed magazine in case they didn't know, including, of course, so why do we need a magazine that's just for the LGBT community?
Sure. Well, you know, the premise of Equally Wed magazine, you know, I was an editor working at a variety of magazines and newspapers, and my wife was a designer, but we started to plan our own wedding, and shocker, there was no gay and lesbian couples in the, you know, traditional commercial magazines out there, and it was disheartening to say the least. You know, there were no articles talking to women about how to buy a suit. There were no articles talking to men how to propose to another man.
Mm.
Things that we need to think about, you know, that we want information for, where to find a cute sign that says, here come the brides, things like that. It's just not being covered in the heterosexual wedding market, and we needed to fill that niche.
Nice. And you guys are involved in all sorts. We're going to talk about the magazine because we're going to talk about the Ask Kirsten section, which, you know, I consult when I wake up in the morning.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, as I assume many do. I'm not even getting married, but I consult it. I think it's relevant. I make it into a larger metaphor. But you guys are involved in all of these different actions and one major one right now, are you not?
Yes, absolutely. You know, we're really fighting for marriage equality. I mean, obviously, it's a personal issue for us as a couple. You know, we got legally married in New York, but we live in Atlanta, Georgia, where it's not legally recognized. And we're working hard for federal recognition for all couples across the country to, you know, have those basic civil rights.
And so there are certain places. Wasn't there the day where we should be supporting the places that support us?
Right, exactly. So, you know, August 1st, Mike Huckabee's National Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day.
Right.
You know, props to them for having that day, but it was disheartening to keep using that word.
Yeah.
On the news and Facebook news feed to see people so proudly holding their chicken sandwiches and saying outright, "I do this because I don't want gays and lesbians to get married."
Right.
People were proud to say that, and that struck us down. I mean, it hurt. These are the people that are out there voting on our rights.
Right.
And it was hard not just seeing that, but then also seeing the friends write about it, about how friends and acquaintances and colleagues, about how it was reflecting on, you know, who they were as a person,
mm-hmm.
that it felt like the nation was just coming down on us and saying, you know, you don't deserve what we have. And so in an effort to help empower our community and our allies and say, you know what, you do have a voice. You have a choice to where you can put your money.
Yeah.
You don't have to just boycott Chick-fil-A. Go and support organizations who support you. Freedom to Marry, HRC, Starbucks, Amazon.com. You know, they just donated $2.5 million toward advancing marriage equality in Washington State. That's huge. So we need to, you know, as a community, get together and support the ones that we want to support and not just let other people get us down.
And you've gotten celebrity endorsements, have you not?
Yes, yesterday was fantastic. It was beyond my wildest dreams because, you know, we pulled it together in such a short amount of time. We didn't want to plan a day too far away from August 1st because we didn't want to lose the momentum.
Right.
So we chose August 7th, and yesterday our biggest celebrity supporters were Perez Hilton, Charlize Theron, Lance Bass, and Jody Sweetin from Full House.
Love Jody Sweetin.
Yes, it was wonderful. It was just, you know, it really warmed my heart, and it got people fired up.
Now, to what degree do you think that you can achieve the goal of getting Lance Bass to call me?
Well, I could tweet him your number.
All right.
He might call you, too. I only have the Twitter account.
All right. Well, we'll get on that after the show. Yeah. Now, we have so many wedding things to talk about. Are you ready?
Sure, absolutely.
I love all this. I'm actually going to be headed to my first same-sex wedding. I've never been to one. Now, I shouldn't say that because Jody, who was actually on the show when you were on the show last time, Jody had gotten married, but they it was very interesting. And Jody and I have talked about this endlessly. Her and her partner, Jen, downplayed it a lot because they'd already had a civil union. And they did such an amazing job of reminding everyone, you know, we are already married and we have had another ceremony. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to my first one coming up that's not Jody's. Mm-hmm. I have so many questions. I don't know what to do.
Oh, great.
First, what about, I love this. So I'm pulling some questions from the Ask Kirsten column on equallywed.com. And someone asked you, and this is such a great question, what are your thoughts, Kirsten, on registering for cash? Because I have to tell you, I tend not to look at people's registries.
Oh, okay.
I tend to just go off the registry and get them something. Is that bad etiquette too?
No. You know, registries are not a list of couples' demands. They are, you know, the historical aspect of it is registries came about because people, when they're coming to a wedding, they want to gift a couple with something that might help them in their new life together. And so registries came about so that people could say, well, hey, if you're going to get me something, this is the china pattern I like, or, you know, if you're going to get me something, an appliance or something for the kitchen, we really need a blender. So they're just suggestions. And I think that if you're going off registry, you should really be considerate and give a gift receipt because you don't know if that couple might already have what you're buying.
Huh. That ship has sailed.
But going off registry is absolutely acceptable.
Can I tell you what I got them? They're not listening this week, so it's okay.
Sure.
They won't hear. So I got them. This is a couple down in Virginia, and they often go to New York City. This is my favorite thing to get people, gay, straight, anyone. I got them a gift certificate that they can use at one of, I think, 100 different really nice restaurants in New York City.
Oh, fantastic.
Is that cool? That's okay, right?
So cool.
Okay.
I love it.
So it's like it's giving them a night out on a different night. Now, what about the question from the person who wrote in and said, can we register for cash? Because I love your answer.
Okay, well, so of course you can. You can do whatever you want at your wedding. But I'm old school.
Yeah.
I'm only 34, but I'm old school in this regard, and I think it's kind of tacky.
Yeah.
People, I know we're hearing a lot from the gay community is, we've been together for 10 years. We really, you know, we don't need a blender or a new set of sheets. What we really need is some help paying for this wedding. So why can't we register for cash? Well, it's tacky, first of all. You know, I mean, and when people see that you've registered for cash, they're going to think that you're tacky. So, you know, if you want to portray that, then go right ahead. But also, you're the one that decided to have this wedding, and you're the one that decided to book the, you know, the $2,000 photographer over the $300 photographer. You know, you made these decisions. So, and hopefully you made these decisions ready to pay for them yourself or with, you know, your family's support.
Yes. I don't think, I would hope that people aren't organizing their weddings and then on a spreadsheet figuring out their return on investment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There's an emotional return on investment.
Like
yeah.
Exactly. You know, you want your guests to come there to support you making this commitment, not to help you pay for your party.
There you go. Now, the other thing that I'm seeing a lot of people doing, and I don't know if this is a new thing or I'm just finally paying attention because now I'm starting to get invited to weddings, is that people are asking for people to chip in certain ways for their honeymoons.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll have these websites where we'll pay for our, can you sponsor our trip to this cathedral for the entrance fee or our dinner out on this honeymoon? And they're not necessarily asking for cash, but I guess there are these websites now or has this been going on for a while and I've just missed it?
Yep. You know, it's been going on for at least the last 6 years that I know of. And definitely far less tacky. And I think people in general don't just like giving cash, not knowing where it's going. But for some of my lesbian friends that had their wedding a few years ago, I was more than happy to buy them a massage while they were in Greece. I love knowing that I was helping them celebrate their honeymoon. And I love knowing exactly what I was giving them too. So I think that that's perfectly acceptable.
Now, what about the age-old question? And I will ask you this. I think I might have asked you this last time you were on the air, and I will ask you every time you're on the air. So for those people who are saying, all right, I'm not going to go on registry. You know, I just don't have time to do this. I'm going to write a check.
Sure.
What amount do they put there on that check?
I think that at a minimum, okay, so
this is a hard one.
It is a hard one. You know, everybody comes from different walks of life.
Yeah.
And no penny is unwelcome by the couple. So if you can write a check for $5, it's graciously welcomed by the couple and know that. But if you can afford to give at least $25, I think that's wonderful. $50 is, I think, what if you're coming as a couple, it should be $50 or $100 if you can afford it. But if you can't, the couple knows that and they appreciate and respect the fact that you're giving them anything at all and attending.
Yeah.
You know, attending is the biggest gift.
Attending is good. And what about maybe a $20 gift certificate to a tattoo place?
I think that's great. That's
okay.
A great idea. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just want to get them started on that path. All right. So that's gifts. So that's gifts. Mm-hmm. And then here's a great question. Someone asked you, Kirsten, do all of the broomsmen, which that's a fun word, do they all need to wear the same suit? Is it okay to tell them to just pick a black pantsuit and white button-up, or do we need to specify type, style, and brand? And this person was worried about their pictures. Do they have reason to be worried about their pictures?
It depends on, you know, I think that if you're going to go all black, black is probably the easiest shade to have a variety of for different brands and fabrics. So I would recommend going with the same brand and fabric only because they're going to just make the line of suits so much more attractive in your pictures. You know, you want the focus to be on you and not all the mismatch, unless you're going for mismatch. But in that case, I'd say try to pull the eyes to different color ties as well as different shades of black suits if you don't want to give your broomsman or groomsman any type of direction beyond a black suit.
If you're worried about your pictures, you probably have reason to be worried about your pictures.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're concerned, I would recommend going with the same brand and the same fabric. Usually they're available in a lot of different styles and cuts, so everybody can get something that's flattering to them. But if, so as far as shades, though, I think that going with the same fabric.
Great. Now, what about, and now this is a really important question for a lot of folks. So there, this is a couple that's getting married in a state where same-sex marriage is not yet legally recognized. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And their families who are supportive and hopefully attending would prefer that they not put the words wedding or marriage in their invitation.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, I have to say, I was really interested in this question, not just because it's their mother telling them this. I don't know. In some ways, I might have some ambivalence about that. So the person asking this question is saying, you know, I want to put the word wedding or marriage. And I think that I would as well. And yet, if I was in a state where it wasn't recognized, I would feel maybe a little weird doing that.
Mm-hmm.
A little ambivalent. I would struggle with what language to put.
And why would you struggle, Ken? Do you think that your wedding's not a real wedding if you have it in a state where other people say it's not?
You know, I think in some ways I don't want it to be an aspirational wedding ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have absolutely no doubt that it is just as valid as anyone else's wedding or marriage. I think maybe this is a bigger point. Maybe I shouldn't be using my wedding invitation as an opportunity to make a political statement.
Mm. Well, right now, because we aren't all able to legally marry,
yeah,
it still is a political matter.
Yeah.
But I think that as somebody who lives in a state where it's not legally recognized, I think it's important that we move forward as knowing that our marriages are just as valid. They're not legally recognized, but they are valid, and our weddings, there's no difference. It's not illegal to have a gay wedding. It's not illegal to have a wedding, you know, no matter the gender of the adults, the consenting adults. But it's not, I don't know, I think that if you put commitment ceremony, that you're saying, yes, it's okay for me to drink out of a separate water fountain.
Right.
That it's okay for me to sit at the back of the bus.
My fear is I would go the other direction. Not mm-hmm. so much putting commitment ceremony, mm-hmm. but including a couple sentences that reflect, FYI, as much as this is a wedding and I will use that word, mm-hmm. the state that we are getting married in. I think this is the question. Should I really be making sentences on my wedding invitation that remind people about
right.
state law?
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, it just doesn't, it's just not part of that day.
Yeah.
You can honor marriage equality at your ceremony, but as far as putting it on your wedding invitation, you know, that's a personal choice. And we've actually featured a couple that made that the kind of the focus of their celebration, and I thought they did it in a really beautifully orchestrated way. But in general, it's not unless you feel personally called to do it, it's not necessary to put on your invitation.
There you go. And speaking of invitations, and I learned something here. I would have gotten this wrong if I didn't read this column every morning. Kirsten, we have a wedding website. Can we get the word out by including it on our invitation?
Yes, you can put your wedding website on your invitation. It's considered bad form to put where you're registered on your invitation.
There you go. Okay.
But you can, if you include your website and then you have your registry information on your website, then you kind of get around that little rule.
Awesome. Any cool things that you're hearing about these days that are coming up that like, oh, wow, now that's a cool thing to do at your wedding?
I think that the DIY movement is just, it's just getting increasingly more amazing what people are coming up with. And I love it as far as little favors. Coming from the South, people are making tons of jams and jellies and jarring them themselves and making their own little labels for the jars and making their own canopies for their altars. It's astounding what people are coming up with, and it's very inspiring. So people aren't just doing cookie cutter weddings anymore.
Love it. And what about cool creative gifts that you're hearing about?
Oh, gifts. I think that the most creative are going with the couple's interest outside of the home, you know, like a action gifts, experience gifts, like a golf trip, a scuba diving trip, or gear for that. Things that the couple are interested in outside of needing a new blender or new sheets.
Nice.
And especially for our community, because, you know, oftentimes we've been together a lot longer before we plan our weddings.
What do you think about, I went to a wedding where they were very particular on the wedding invitation and said, this is a fragrance-free wedding.
Mm.
Is that something that's happening all over the place?
I've never heard of that before, but some people get horrible headaches, so I don't blame them for, you know, being specific so that the most important people, whether it's the couple or maybe somebody's mother, wants to enjoy the day without that.
We like when everybody feels included and doesn't get a migraine.
Absolutely. So, you know, you got to take care of the ones you love.
So generally, your rule is weddings should not cause migraines.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Actually, I want to get that tattooed on my back.
That should be the little byline underneath Equally Wed magazine, should not cause a migraine.
I think so.
There is a great piece on there. I must say, I enjoy it immensely, on four ideas for your Jewish wedding.
Mm-hmm.
My people got a shout out right there, and they're four really cool ideas.
Thank you. Yeah, the Jewish community is just, by and large, so gay friendly too, and I am so impressed and love that, as far as the fortunate fight between religions about gay marriage. I am so impressed with the Jewish community for being so supportive, and we've covered a lot of Jewish weddings on Equally Wed.
What are you seeing with regard to, because I think a question that comes up a lot is, so how do we handle the faith aspect of our wedding?
It really depends on your faith and who your church or temple leader is and what allowed and acknowledged in your place of worship. But at the end of the day, you and your partner, you know, have to come to terms with what you feel in your heart and know is true, that your love is true, and hopefully find a place of worship that recognizes and celebrates it with you.
Okay. And what do we have to say to those brides and grooms out there who are not eating at their own weddings?
Oh, you've got to eat. Sustain yourself. I think it's a great idea to just sneak off for 20 minutes, have some, your caterer plan to have small plates for you, to just stuff your face, kiss each other, and have a moment of that before you go out and greet your guests. But, of course, check your teeth in the mirror before you do.
Oh, that's pretty important. That photographer's wandering around, and you're probably going to talk to people, too, and they might notice.
Right, absolutely. But with all that champagne, you need to have something in your stomach.
Exactly. Although this is why I encourage spinach-free weddings.
It's a very good idea.
It really goes along.
I was going on my back.
Yeah. This has been such a helpful call for you.
Yes, it has.
We're here to help. So where can folks go to learn more about everything that they can do to plan their LGBT wedding?
Equallywed.com.
Love it. Anything exciting coming up? Anything else that we should know about?
I would love to give you the first introduction to our new site that's coming up in September called equallyfamily.com.
Wow.
And, it's the extension of Equally Wed for couples and single LGBTQ parents. Just a one-stop resource for everything you need to know about starting, creating, expanding, and caring for your family.
Oh, wow. What triggered this new venture?
Probably our sons, Leo and Rocco.
Yeah, I bet it did.
Yeah, but, you know, we have so many friends that gays and lesbian, queer, transgender, that skipped the wedding or also are planning on having children, one or the other. But there are, when we started planning to have children, we also realized just when we were planning our wedding that there are not a lot of resources out there and not in one place. And so here again, we feel called to action.
Love it. Oh, that's going to be so, we're going to be talking more about that one. We'll link to that as well. I will tell you that even as we're doing this interview right now, my boyfriend wrote and said, who are you doing an interview with? I said, the editor-in-chief of Equally Wed magazine. And he just wrote back and said, please tell her I like red velvet cake.
Oh, wonderful.
So that seems to me to be a deal breaker then, right there. if someone's expressing a preference, then that's something I should keep in the back of my head, right?
That's saying that he's thinking some permanence with you,
I think. Okay, this just went in a whole different direction. I was just talking about dessert. Now I got to head over to the equallyfamily.com because it's a whole different thing. Well, this is very exciting. Everybody's got to head over to equallywed.com. There's so many fun articles and ideas and things, and you can even, there's choosing your menu and signature cocktail recipes. Very exciting.
Thank you, Ken. I appreciate your support and interest.
You keep doing it. You, of course, will come back on the show a little bit sooner than 2 years away.
Yes, absolutely. Let's keep in touch.
My best to the boys.
Thank you, Ken.
All the best, Kirsten.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
I'd like to share this song with you.
Folks, and we are back. Well, one of the great things about doing this show over the past 4 years is that I have the opportunity to talk to these folks from all over this great planet who are doing these really cool things that you might not have heard about. And there's always some sort of gay angle, and we'll get to the gay angle as we welcome Gary Mitchell, who is the executive director of Planet Rehab, a grassroots nonprofit dedicated to protecting and preserving the health of this planet. It's the only planet we got, folks, right now at least. He is formerly the LA chapter director of a group called Out for Sustainability, and now he's here with us today. Gary Mitchell, welcome to this show, Is So Gay.
Hey, thanks, man. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
We have to protect this planet, do we not?
Oh, my gosh. We really do. You know, it's amazing to me how you turn on the TV and you can learn anything that you never wanted to know about Kim Kardashian, but nobody knows what's going on with our planet.
So my assumption is that we're just doing really well with our planet, and there's nothing really even to talk about.
Yeah, that would be a really scary assumption.
Okay.
But you would be in the general population, because that's pretty much what people think about. If it's not on the news, then it must not be happening.
So what should we know? What's going on these days? I mean, obviously we all have a sense that, oh, gosh, we could be doing better. But what sense of urgency should we have?
You know, I look at the Earth as kind of like an aquarium. And if you turn off the filter of an aquarium, you get all of these gases that build up, toxins that build up, and it shuts off the light. Everything dies. And that's kind of what we're doing, Ken, right now with our aquarium.
Hey.
We're shutting off our filters. We're killing approximately 56 million acres of rainforest every year. And then in addition to that, we're also turning the oceans into a great big garbage filled with plastic trash.
Well, that's not good.
Not at all. People don't realize that over 56% of our oxygen comes from phytoplankton in the ocean. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Most people just assume, oh, it's trees. Yeah, trees do a lot, but actually most of it comes from phytoplankton. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but just halfway between here and Hawaii is a giant garbage patch that is 1.5 times the size of the continental United States. Imagine that.
Hey.
1.5 times the size of the United States, floating in the middle of the ocean, a big patch of garbage that's mostly plastic.
That also does not sound like a scenic spot.
Well, you know, that's interesting, because as far as whether it's scenic or not, a lot of it you don't even see from the top.
Right.
A lot of it you see from underneath.
Right.
It goes down to 90 feet deep. But we were just talking about the phytoplankton. And in this area, there are 6 times more plastic particles than there is plankton.
Huh.
So you can imagine that, you know, plastic is not going to nourish the planet. It's not going to provide oxygen. And as a matter of fact, anything that was eating plankton is now eating the plastic particles. It's really a scary situation. And I mentioned that this is halfway between Hawaii and California, to where the currents meet, and that's called the North Pacific Gyre. But
yeah,
there are actually 5 gyres in the world's oceans, 10 that are all filling with plastic. So if you look at what we're doing to the rainforest and you look at what we're doing to the oceans, you kind of get the idea that we're not doing too well.
So it sounds like what our planet perhaps needs is some rehab.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
See what I did there? It's almost like the name of the organization.
Almost, yeah, I got it. Planet Rehab. Oh, planetrehab.org.
There you go. Now, what is going on with Planet Rehab? What are you guys focusing on? Because there are a ton of environmentally conscious organizations out there, but you guys have a very specific bent to your mission.
Yeah, we're a little bit different. I have a performing background. I spent a number of years on the road as a singer-songwriter, and I'm a very emotional person. And I think that we don't really commit to anything unless there's an emotion that's involved. And so we look for opportunities to use emotion to drive change.
Okay.
Our tagline, Ken, is be part of the solution. And so one of the things that we do that's maybe a little bit different than some other organizations is we have our own animal sanctuary. We have approximately 350 animals, and we open it up on the weekends to the public to give kids and adults the opportunity to interact with our over 30 species of birds, our alpaca, our dogs, our cats, our tortoises, our seahorse, our goats, all of these animals, so that people can get, oh, this is what we're jeopardizing.
Yeah.
We're already losing 137 species of birds, plants, or insects every single day. And so that's one of the tactics that we use, is giving people the opportunity to interact with nature that we've created on our own plot. Another tactic that we use that is very different than any other environmental organization is we use music. We perform all over. Our first big performance was alongside Jason Mraz at the Long Beach Convention Center for the Leaders Causing Leaders Conference.
Awesome.
And, yeah, it was a great opportunity. We were able to actually do a musical play that I put together called What's Up with Planet Earth.
Okay.
It features some of our songs that some of them are inspirational. Some of them are not. Some of them really are just right in your face as far as this is what's happening. And on Saturday, we took it to a new level. We're planning on doing free music videos that deal with issues that are facing our planet right now. And we participated in the Hands Across the Sand. Are you familiar with that?
I was just reading about that with a beach cleanup and everything.
Right. Hands Across the Sand started about 4 years ago, and it was a response by a guy named Dave Rochkopf in Florida about wanting to oppose a new offshore drilling platform. Planet Rehab got involved with this movement 3 years ago. And so this was actually our third time involved with Hands Across the Sand. It's kind of a sweet little thing. What they do is at noon, everybody meets at their local body of water. In our case, this was Long Beach. And everyone links hands for 15 minutes to oppose offshore drilling and to stand for the health of the ocean. We took that, though, several steps forward. In addition to that, we also did a beach cleanup fundraiser, which, of course, helped to feed our animals. And let me just throw in a plug here. We are always very appreciative of anybody that wants to help our cause, and they can certainly go to planetrehab.org and donate, because, as you might know, trying to feed 350 animals, many of whom are rescued, is not a cheap proposition, but
right.
We feel that it's worthwhile. But anyway, back to what I was talking about, what we did the beach cleanup fundraiser. Then we had an environmentalist that came out from Phoenix. She has done healing of bodies of water and has worked with a number of different environmental projects for University of Michigan, a lot of different places. And she came and spoke with us, which was really amazing. she really touched our hearts because she talked about how when she was a little girl, the river right by where she grew up caught on fire.
Oh, wow.
Because there were so many chemicals in it. Yeah, something that you don't necessarily hear on Fox News, right?
Not at all.
After Jane, we did the Hands Across the Sand, and after that, we did our first flash mob, which was really exciting. We had about 70 kids involved that did choreography to a song that I wrote called Just Put Down the Bottle that talks about the evils of bottled water.
Nice.
Did you know that bottled water was evil, Ken?
I actually did, because I just got back recently from China, and we had many, many conversations about bottled water.
Tell me about that.
But yeah, know that it's tapping various different resources, not to mention the incredible amount of waste it creates, but that we really need to start questioning our consumption of bottled water if we're not already.
Well, I applaud you for knowing that. Most people, they automatically, you know, look at Jennifer Aniston on the TV with her smart bottle and think, oh, this must be a good thing.
I know a couple things, Gary. Every now and then I know a couple things.
Well, you know what? You're ahead of the curve.
Okay.
Because I do environmental training. I've done environmental training for a bunch of different corporations, including Disney and Google and MTV and Lionsgate. And it's amazing that the majority of people that are very intelligent people have no idea that bottled water is one of the issues that's really causing really an extreme environmental crisis. And the song that I wrote, which is a really fun, it's the kind of song that everybody wants to clap their hands to, which was a great vehicle to get people to sing, you know, Just Put Down the Bottle.
Right.
But it goes through the fact that, you may know, we burn 18 million barrels of oil every year just transporting water.
Yeah.
18 million barrels.
Jeez.
Then most people don't even make the connection that plastic comes from oil.
Yeah.
And we use 17 million gallons of oil to make the bottles. Then we're wasting water because it takes 3 times the amount of water to create the bottles what you fill it with. Then is it healthy? We've now linked breast cancer, prostate cancer, ADHD, diabetes, and obesity all to the chemicals in plastics. And as you mentioned, the waste factor is tremendous. Best case scenario is recycling. Only 1/5 get recycled. But even recycling takes energy, takes water, creates waste. But the other 80%, which doesn't get recycled, ends up either in a landfill, and plastic does not ever die. It will continue to poison the earth. Or, as we mentioned, it ends up in one of the 5 gyres poisoning the ocean. So we did our flash mob to Just Put Down the Bottle, which we're really excited about having the opportunity to present to the world our music videos once we get those done.
Wow. All right. Gosh, am I done with bottled water? And I'm pretty good about it. But I think I can be even better. Well, folks are going to be wondering, hey, this isn't, this show is so environmental. This show is so gay. And indeed, it is This Show Is So Gay. And I've been doing my research and trying to find there seems to be a disproportionate number of gay people involved in environmental causes. Do we have a theory as to why that might be?
Well, you know, I think that we're forced to think for ourselves.
Yeah.
I personally was raised as a Mormon, and it's a very predetermined life. They tell you who to vote for. They tell you what to believe, what to do. Most of your life is taken up with activities if you are raised Mormon. That was my personal experience. And having to shuck all that, once I was excommunicated from the Mormon Church for being a big old homo.
Look at that.
A completely different world opened up. And I presume that a lot of other gay people have that same opportunity. You have to look at life without all the predetermined scripts and really look and see, hey, this is what's going on. What's really funny is so many of the members, so many of our volunteers, are gay. And I'm not talking about, you know, older people. We've had you know, two of our volunteers are not together now, but they were together for a year and a half. And it was adorable. They went together, two little boys went together to their own prom. And they were a big part of what we did. They would come and sing when we did performances and be on the front line of any environmental event that we did. And we've had unusually a disproportionate amount of gay people like Kyle and Efren come and join what we're doing, and it makes me absolutely thrilled.
I love that.
Yeah, especially that they're coming out earlier now. You know? And coming out not just for the, you know, their gay cause, but they're also coming out for the planet. Awesome.
Wow, that I love that. And how about those green-minded gays from Out for Sustainability?
Yeah, that is amazing. It actually started in Seattle. And they're doing a great job. And they're really presenting a positive message, which is important. It's very easy to get bogged down with all of the really depressing details of what's happening.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I appreciate about Out for Sustainability is the fact that they are really looking for every opportunity to present a positive message. What we try to do is we don't really sugarcoat anything. We try to let, as you probably realize by now, we try to let people know this is what's going on because we don't believe that people can make change until they really know what's happening. You know, the first thing you got to do is bring up the awareness factor. And then what we try to do is provide opportunities for people to be part of the solution so that they can feel like they are taking whatever the environmental issues are into their own hands and they are creating a new and better world.
We could use a new and better world. So give us some tips. We need a couple tips to walk away with. We gays and allies who are listening to this show who are thinking, all right, I need some three simple changes that I can make to my life that will help rehab this planet. What three changes can we do?
For less than $200, you can buy a filtration system that just goes right onto your kitchen faucet.
Okay.
And that will provide you with water that is delicious and much safer than any bottled water that you could buy, and certainly much, much cheaper. That's one thing you can do. Another thing you can do is to eat less meat. We don't recognize the fact that the majority of the 56 million acres of rainforest that is being destroyed through what they call slash and burn is being done so that cattle can be raised for food.
Mm.
And so if you are a heavy meat eater, if you cut down a meal or, you know, some of our volunteers have gone ahead and taken the challenge that we've taken ourselves, and that's to live a meat-free existence, that's one of the best things that you can do to help the environment. And this was really interesting. I learned that 10 years ago, there was 0.04% of the United States that was either vegetarian or vegan, and now it's up to 5%.
Oh, wow.
I think that's amazing.
Well, look how well I'm doing. I have my water filtration system. I'm living a meat-free existence. I want to go 3 for 3, so try to come up with something I already do.
Well, you already do the bottled water thing, which is amazing because of the fact that you don't use bottled water and that you already understand.
Someone's going to totally snap a picture now of me walking down the streets in Vermont with a, with a bottled water and say, you're a liar, and I'm done with you. So that'll happen, but I'm going to try harder. And yes, and no meat. What else can I do? Give me one more thing I can do.
Okay, it's a simple thing, but a big deal, and that's eliminate single-use bags.
There you go.
You know, every single store you go to, you can buy for usually a dollar or less a bag that you can carry with you. And people don't recognize the fact that it could take 100 to 1,000 years for one plastic bag to disintegrate. But when that bag ends up in the ocean, Ken, a sea turtle thinks it's a jellyfish, which is one of the things that they eat. And as you can imagine,
I hate this story.
Yeah, well, I'll make it worse for you.
Okay.
100,000 dolphins, whales, seals, and sea turtles every year. 100,000 because of plastics in the ocean.
You're the worst guest we've ever had, Gary.
Absolutely, absolutely. But you know what? If I can get one person to pay attention and just realize that this is their planet.
Yeah.
And that they have a stake in making sure that species can continue to exist, including human beings, then it's worth it. You know, you can get involved in local issues.
Yeah.
If you don't have time to get involved, donate, you know, and you're welcome to donate to what we're doing at planetrehab.org, but
there
do
you go.
Something, you know, be part of the solution.
And really collect your information, because as you said before, that really, that knowledge piece, it is power, that we need to know the effects that we're having. We can't just go blindly throughout our day and assume that we're just not having a greater impact than we're having, because we are, and that impact will be felt for years to come. So thankfully, we are living in a time where you can go to these websites and you can find out, oh gosh, what effect am I having on this world? It's just not an excuse anymore more to say, I had no idea.
In one of our songs, there's a line that's, it's time to lose the blinders. And it is time to lose the blinders.
Yeah.
It's time to take the blinders off and look and see what is happening and face it, challenge it, and make it better.
Make it better. There you go.
You can do that.
Give us the website one more time.
Planetrehab.org.
Perfect.
PlanetRehab.org, and thank you.
Gary, you're making a difference. Tell everybody we say hi out there in California and keep on doing this.
Will do. Thank you, my friend.
All the best.
Have a gay day.
And to you, sir.
Absolutely.
Bye, Gary.
Bye-bye.
I've been so still, afraid of crumbling. Have I been careless? Dismissing all the distant rumblings. Take me where I am supposed to be, to comprehend the things that I can't see. 'Cause I need to move, I need to wake up, I need to change, I need to shake. I need to speak out. Something's got to break up. I've been asleep and I need to wake up now. And as a child, I danced like it was 1999. My dreams were wild. The promise of this new world would be mine. Now I am throwing off the carelessness of youth, to listen to an inconvenient truth. That I need to move, I need to wake up,
All right, folks, that about wraps things up for this week's episode of This Show Is So Gay. A couple of little notes for you to get you on your way. This is the last couple days that you can stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com. And right there on the homepage, there's a link for you to donate $5, only $5, to take part in our This Show Is So Gay Guaranteed to Win a Prize raffle. And that's connected with the
415-mile charity treks ride that I am doing this coming weekend. Oh my gosh, that's just a couple days away. And that's a ride from Burlington, Vermont to Portland, Maine. And it raises money, the ride, to find a cure for HIV and AIDS. I know a lot of the rides out there raise amazing amounts of money and much needed money to help treat and care for people who are currently living with HIV and AIDS. This ride's a little bit different because it's very much a ride for a cure. So if you donate $5, you are automatically entered into this raffle and everybody's guaranteed some sort of prize. And they're donated, prizes donated by past guests. You have CDs, the Kinsey Six donated a CD, Emily Wilcox donated a book, tons of different prizes. You are guaranteed to win something if you give $5. So get on that straight away. Next week, even though I will be on the ride, we will have a new show for you. Jody and I are recording an all-news roundup. It's going to be perhaps a little bit off topical because we're doing it a few days in advance, but it's Jody and I. So Jody and I gabbing about the news, that's always something that's topical. That's always something that you're going to want to listen to, of course. And we're trying out a whole new recording system. So that's really exciting too, unless it doesn't work out, in which case it's not so exciting. And then next week while I'm on the ride, I am going to be recording a show from the ride. So all 5 days of the ride, we'll be doing interviews with various participants who come from all over the U.S. to pedal 415 miles to raise money for a cure. And not just the people riding. And people know that I'm very particular about this point right here. It's not just about the riders. It's also about the crew members. As a former crew member and someone who got his start in these rides and these various walks working on the crew, it's such a huge deal to volunteer to be a part of the crew. So if you see these rides or these walks advertised and you're thinking, physically, I just can't pull that off, I promise you that there is a spot on the crew for you. They need volunteers, and you get the whole experience of the ride, a little bit of a different perspective. You, in some ways, might have more conversations about why people are doing what they're doing from your crew vantage point, but I urge you, I know folks have heard me say this before on this show, to participate in these multiple day events. They are categorically different than the single day events, which have their own place and are fantastic. But I'm a huge fan of these multiple day events where you get to camp out and sleep overnight and have conversations that you would not believe. So that is my plug. You can go to charitytreks.org, or you can, of course, look up the San Francisco to LA AIDS ride, all the different rides and walks and things that they have out there. Look for a multiple day event. So that's what we have in store for you coming up. You can also go to Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay, and right there on our This Show Is So Gay Facebook page, you can link up to my newest Huffington Post article. Every three or four articles are gay related, and this week's is definitely gay related and has gotten me into a ton of hot water in talking about banning blood drives on college campuses. So that's something you can read in your leisure time and maybe leave a comment or like it or do whatever you want to do after you read that piece. And that's right there on the This Show So Gay Facebook page. Very easy to find. And lastly, if you have guest ideas, if you have feedback, if there's a recipe that you want to share that you think that I need to know about, particularly if it's meat-free, if you send me a veal recipe, I'm not going to make it. It's just not what I do. Send that on over to ken@thisshowisogay.com. We, of course, respond to every single email you send over. You send us these guest suggestions, and then we reach out and we try to get these guests, and we have a really great track record because it enables us to say, listen, famous person or person making a difference in the LGBT community that we might not know about, you are a listener-requested guest. We would love to have you on the show. And people write back and say, of course I would love to be on your show. So if you have guest ideas, send them on over to ken@thisshowisogay.com. That really wraps things up for us on this week's episode. So get out there, folks. Go do what it is that you do to make a difference in this world, to create more equality. go to a gay wedding. Go to one that you're invited to. Don't just crash a gay wedding, but go to a wedding that you're invited to of a same-sex couple and give an appropriate gift. And we talked about that with Kirsten Ott Palladino. And do your research on companies that are supporting the LGBT community. And of course, as you just heard in that last segment, please do what you can do to protect this environment, because it is the only one that we have. Get out there, folks. Have an amazing rest of your week. And remember, while you're doing all of these incredible things, why be gay when you can be so gay?
Soul for a day, carry me, hold freedom to